hiatus, like many things take a hiatus over the holiday break. Wednesday night suppers are going to start up again on January 13th. You'll see some more about that in some upcoming things, the newsletter and some other publications as well. But January 13th is going to be extra special. Not only will it be the first time we come back, but we will also be celebrating the Honduran mission trip, which will be leaving in the not too distant future. They will be back by the 13th, and we will celebrate with them and have a Honduran dinner together. So very basic rice, pork, and some fried plantains, and some delicious tres leche cake, which I know we've had before, which what's not to like about cake soaked in sugary milk. So that'll be a good time and a good night. Hope you can join us for that. Do look at the Mission and Justice page in the bulletin if you want to know more about the Honduras trip. It's an exciting thing. We've been getting ready for it in a lot of different ways. We've packed up some bags to hand out to the kids filled with all kinds of smaller things, a bag they can use, some pencils, pens, paper, some health things, toothpaste, toothbrushes, those kinds of things. Just stuff that the people that have been on this trip before know that the kids there need and love to have. So we've packed those up. Kish has been working around the clock, packing up bags, eyeglasses, and things to take. So take a look at some of the information coming out about that. And look forward to pictures. We'll be in communication with them as they're traveling and as they're on the ground, and we'll be publishing pictures on the website and on Facebook and some other different ways as well. So keep an eye out for that. Well, we're excited to be here with you this morning. So let us stand, greet each other in that same excitement with the name and peace of Jesus Christ.
As we return to our seats, our worship begins with the prelude as we prepare for God, and our worship ends after the postlude as we prepare to go into the world. Let us worship God.
Thank you. Welcome to the live broadcast of a service for the worship of God, which is coming to you from the sanctuary of Grace Covenant Presbyterian Church in Richmond, Virginia.
Let's stand together as we continue in worship. Each week that we enter into your church, each moment that we are awash in your Spirit, we are joyful at the promise fulfilled in your Son, Jesus Christ. We are glad to be counted as your children, to experience your grace, your Son brings. Herald for us a new day, a new life in each moment. Refresh our weariness, cast aside our doubt. Prepare us for worship. Amen.
Once again, welcome to the live broadcast of a service for the worship of God, which is coming to you from the sanctuary of Grace Covenant Presbyterian Church at 1627 Monument Avenue in Richmond, Virginia. This is the 92nd year of radio ministry at Grace Covenant, and today's broadcast is number 4770. The Reverend Mr. Robert Holm Lippert is our pastor. This morning's sermon, entitled, What Are You Looking For?, will be delivered by the Reverend H. Carson Rhine, stated clerk for the Presbytery of the James. Assisting in the service today are Christopher Martin, our Director of Music and Organist, violin soloist Christine Anderson, and Christopher Tweel, Pastoral Assistant and Director of Christian Formation here at Grace Covenant. Our church is handicapped accessible with an elevator, wheelchairs, hearing assistance, and large print bulletins and hymnals. Child care is provided for infants, toddlers, and kindergartners. Worship kits are available for older children at the entrance to the sanctuary. Our opening hymn is "What Child Is This?", which is number 159 in the hymn book.
Especially in this season, we are called to witness to the joy of servanthood. Yet in so many years, we find ourselves filled with tiredness. We blame ourselves. We blame too much food or too many gifts. Yet the fault lies in the midst of our simple human nature. We forget where your Son is and seek him where he is not. Remind us, God, that Christ resides in you, in your will and your purposes, and for the sake of your love and grace. It is in that grace that we can allow our fault to wash over us and approach your house, your business, with passion and a full heart. When Jesus was at the temple, he reminded us, the listener, and his parents of who he was and where he resided, and of what business he was concerned with. The business of our salvation, brothers and sisters. And so, as newly refreshed people, as newly created people in the Spirit and the holiness of God's grace, receive this and approach the Word today with gladness and thanksgiving. Amen. A short announcement before our prayer. As I said, many things take a hiatus over our holiday break, and so the Children's Chapel will not be worshiping this afternoon, but there is still childcare available. Feel free to use that. It is in normal places with the normal folks, so thank you for that. Let's pray together. Heavenly God, it was with the word of Scripture that your Son first entered into his teaching moment. Your word has power for us in our lives each time we read it, each verse, at each stage, at each moment in our lives. Allow the word that is present here this morning to reawaken and reopen our eyes and our ears to you, to find you, and to know where you are. Amen. Our Old Testament reading this morning comes from Psalms. We'll be reading together Psalm 148. Praise the Lord! Praise the Lord from the highest heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his host. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you shining stars. Praise him, you highest heavens, and you, the waters above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded, and they were created. And he established them forever and ever, and he fixed their bounds, which cannot be passed. Praise the Lord from the earth, you sea monsters and all the deeps. Fire and hail, snow and frost, stormy wind fulfilling his command. Mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars, beasts and all cattle, creeping things and flying birds. Kings of the earth and all people, princes and all rulers of the earth, young men and maidens together, old men and children, let them praise the name of the Lord. For his name alone is exalted, his glory is above earth and heaven. He has raised up a horn for his people. Praise for all his saints, for the people of Israel who are near to him. Praise the Lord.
Thank you.
Chris, thank you very much for the music. If you would play three more, I'll have a prayer and call it a sermon. That's just such a peaceful and settling kind of way to worship, to hear such good music as this congregation is noted for. So many thanks for all the hard work that benefits all of us. Our New Testament lesson this morning is from Luke's Gospel, the second chapter, the story about Jesus staying in the temple. We begin with verse 41. Listen for God's word. Now every year his parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover, and when he was 12 years old, they went up as usual for the festival. When the festival was ended and they started to return, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but his parents did not know it. Assuming that he was in the group of travelers, they went a day's journey. Then they started to look for him among their relatives and friends, and when they didn't find him, they returned to Jerusalem to search for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished, and his mother said to him, "Child, why have you treated us like this? Look, your father and I have been searching for you in great anxiety." Jesus said to them, "Why were you searching for me? Did you not know that I must be in my Father's house?" But they didn't understand what he said to them. Then he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was obedient to them. His mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and with man. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Merry Christmas to all of you. My prayer is that this Christmas season has been one in which you have grown in your own personal faith, your relationship with God, and your understanding of who Jesus Christ is. My prayer is that you have been more centered and that family life has been a good experience for you as we've all come to celebrate this incredible holiday. But I'm also aware that Christmas can be a very painful time for a lot of people. For Christmas can be a time when we realize that certain folks are no longer with us. It could be the first year since our husband or wife or relative has died. After 3 days with family, it could be just too much and time for them to go home. So Christmas can be both a blessing and a challenge. And however it was for you, I pray that you are more grounded and centered in your faith and in your relationship with Jesus Christ than you have been before. For Jesus Christ is the hope. He is the reason for this season, as the favorite phrase goes, and he's the hope that all of us yearn for and all of us long for so much. But Christmas 2015 is over, or it's largely over. It wasn't a very good year for the in-store purchases that people made, and supposedly it was a banner year for online ordering. In fact, people were still delivering packages on Christmas Day, we're told. Yet Christmas is a time in which we move forward. With all the hustle and bustle behind us, we're kind of grateful that we've got this week between Christmas and New Year's. We're grateful for a time to kind of rest up and get ready for what will be a new calendar year. For all of us to look to the future, to look forward, to see what God might have in store for our lives as we are faithful disciples. Mary and Joseph made an annual pilgrimage every year to Jerusalem for the feast of the Passover. It was a yearly occurrence. It was part of their tradition and practice, and Jesus went with them. We're told that Jesus in this story was 12 years old, having made that pilgrimage every year without any questions, without any hesitation, without any resistance. Kind of reminds me of when I was a kid, and Sunday morning was a time when you went to Sunday school and church, and you didn't question that. And my younger sister, not knowing any better, 1 year thought she wasn't going to Sunday school anymore. And I just kind of quaked in my boots because I thought, you just don't do that. for Sunday morning was Sunday school and church, and no questions asked about it. Unfortunately, we've lost that in the modern age, for Sunday school now is pretty much an option. Worship, many people come one or two Sundays a month. As a pastor in a congregation, I became very concerned about the traveling teams who played all of their games on Sunday morning or Sunday afternoon, and I every week had a different congregation. And I became concerned that young people were not being traditioned in the faith, didn't know the Bible stories, and weren't sure what this faith was all about. But for Mary and Joseph, the faith was critical. Every year they made the pilgrimage to Jerusalem, and every year Jesus went with them faithfully without question. This year, however, in the story was different. Jesus was 12 years old, which meant that he had come of age in the Jewish tradition. He was now becoming a man. So the story this year was more important than any other time it had been. It was a critical year and a critical time. Also, this is the only story about Jesus in the New Testament in his childhood, only childhood story about Jesus. There are lots of stories told about Jesus when he was a child, but none of them made it into the scriptures except this particular one. So this story is even more significant and more important of what it has to say. For we do not hear about Jesus for the next 18 years of his life until he turns 30 and becomes and begins his earthly ministry. This story, I think, is very modern and contemporary because the parents could not find Jesus. They were traveling a day from Jerusalem thinking Jesus was with the entourage going back to Nazareth. And usually these pilgrimages were large groups of people, family members and friends, and they did that partially for protection against the bandits, but also protection against the wild animals. And all the adults acted as parents, watching over all the children. So Mary and Joseph just assumed that Jesus was with them. And they became very nervous and very concerned when they did not find him after going a full day's journey walking back to Nazareth. Fast forward to today. You lose your child in the mall. You panic. You call the police. You're sure that she has been kidnapped. You are beside yourself. You don't know what to do. You wonder what's happened. I'm sure Mary and Joseph had the same kind of experience as they journeyed back to Jerusalem for one full day looking for Jesus and couldn't find him. They'd been out one day, they're back a day, so that's 2 days without their 12-year-old. And then it took them 3 more days before they found him. 5 days, a whole week, without knowing where your 12-year-old was. And their encounter with Jesus was pretty normal as well. They wanted very much to discipline him for not being with them, and yet they also wanted to embrace him and love him and care for him to show him how much they really loved him. No different than we are in this day and time. But a real mixture of emotions and feelings. And I think that their encounter with each other defines what this story is all about. Mary and Joseph said to him, "Child, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been searching for you in great anxiety." Jesus' response was, "Why are you looking for me? Why are you searching for me? Did you not know that I must be in my Father's house?" Both parents and child were astonished at each other. The parents over the safety of their child, the child over the fact that, "Didn't you know I'm supposed to be about my purpose and reason for being in life?" It had to be tense, it had to be hard, it had to be awkward for all of them. And yet I think it's this encounter that is real and relevant for every one of us. And I want to suggest 2 things that this story is all about. First of all, I wonder if the question of Mary and Joseph is not oftentimes our question. Why have you treated us like this, Jesus? Oftentimes we wonder, Where is this Jesus that we worship? We pray, and our prayers are not answered. We give ourselves completely and totally in faith, and yet nothing seems to happen. We count on Jesus to be present with us, and he is absent. He's not around. The parents were concerned about Jesus being disrespectful for them. We're not concerned about him being disrespectful for us. We're concerned about his presence with us. The parents were concerned about his physical well-being. We're concerned about our spiritual well-being. The parents were worried to death about his safety, and we're concerned about our salvation and our eternity. The parents were worried about physical and emotional well-being. We are concerned about spiritual well-being. And yet, if we're not blunt and honest with our God, how in the world can we ever grow in our faith? If we don't struggle with Jesus and who he is for you and for me, how can he ever make a difference in our lives? You see, one of the problems about being in Virginia or being Virginian is that we're polite. Now, there's nothing wrong with being polite. I'm all favor of it. It's much better than the opposite. But sometimes our politeness does not allow us to get to the real issue in front of us. Sometimes we will not identify the elephant in the living room. In our Christian faith, we oftentimes are polite and use the right words that we've been told for years and years, and rarely struggle with our faith so that it grows and matures and becomes stronger. Rarely do we wrestle with our God so that we're clear about our relationship with Jesus Christ. Rarely do we ever confront Jesus with the questions Mary and Joseph had of him so that we know clearly who he is. One of my dreams is to have a church where people on a weekly basis share about how God has touched their lives in the last 7 days. A church where people confront Jesus by saying, "Lord, what are you doing? Help us understand this." A church where people are clear that Jesus Christ makes the whole difference in their lives, not just something that happens on Sundays. For is that not the reason for Christmas? Is that not the reason that Jesus Christ was born? Is that not the reason we come here every week to worship and to adore him? Is that not the reason why we call Jesus Christ Lord and Savior? Mary and Joseph, I think, in their encounter with Jesus, invite you and me to wrestle and confront Jesus in our own lives, to become comfortable in that relationship with God, and to ask the question regularly, what is God doing with and for me? Struggling with our faith so that it's stronger, deeper, and more personal. For when we do, we, like Mary, can ponder all these things in our heart. But I think Jesus also answers the question of his parents and of us with clarity. Did you not know I am about my Father's business? Jesus is not declaring so much where he is. Jesus is declaring what he is about. He's declaring that he's bringing in a new kingdom. He's declaring that he is doing God's business here on earth. And in his response is an invitation to you and to me to join him, to be about God's business, to be about God's work, to join Jesus in this new endeavor. I think many of us are like Mary and Joseph, always searching for Jesus. Jesus is about being present and available and with us. Jesus is about doing God's work, which occurs when we join with him in that endeavor, when we open our eyes, when we see Jesus Christ right in front of us. Jesus is the one to find us, We're not the one to find him. Jesus is the one who comes and reaches out to us. We're not the ones to reach out to him thinking we'll find him. Jesus is the one who is present with us. Jesus is not someone who is absent or away from us. The great, incredible, unbelievable good news of Christmas is that God is Emmanuel, God with us. God came to us. God looks for us. God searches for us. God wants to be with us on a regular basis and is eager to encounter you and me in our lives, whether at work or at home or at play, eager to help us grow, eager to help us become that person that God created us to be, eager for us to work out our own salvation in relationship to Jesus Christ. The good news of the Christian faith is that one size doesn't fit all, like those socks you got on Christmas Day. Instead, God desires for you to become that beautiful person that you were created to be, with talents, with problems, with gifts, and with hang-ups. For God takes us just as we are, welcomes us, invites us, and loves us. Works with what we have to bring to him and fashions and shapes that into a whole new creation for God's glory and for God's kingdom. As we face a new year, as Jesus faced adulthood at age 12, my prayer is that we might be willing to declare how God is working in our lives. That we might be willing to testify what difference God made in my life in the last 7 days. That we might even have people in the worship service get up and give a testimony of who God is in Jesus Christ and what difference that makes in their lives as an example for all of us to see. So that we on a regular basis share good news with each other, that we're willing to talk about God in God talk and God language so that others come to know who he is in Jesus Christ. So that Christ is not born just in Bethlehem, but also in our hearts. For in so doing, we'll be joining with Jesus as we too increase in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and one another. God is there for us, inviting us to explore a whole new life through the birth of this one, Jesus the Christ. Let us pray. Eternal God, praise and honor and glory for the gift you've given us, the gift of life that you invite us to be a part of. Help us to embrace that gift in this Christmas season, and allow us to be willing to see ways in which you are shaping and touching and changing our lives and share that with one another for your praise and your glory and your honor. Through the name of the Lord we pray. Amen. Our hymn is The First Noel.
Are listening to the live broadcast of a worship service at Grace Covenant Presbyterian Church. You have just heard this morning's sermon entitled, What Are You Looking For?, which was delivered by the Reverend H. Carson Rhine. Congregation will now join in singing The First Noel, which is number 56 in the Presbyterian hymnal. Thank you.
Having heard the word of the scriptures proclaimed, let us stand together in one voice and say what we believe. Proclaim the Apostles' Creed together. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. And spend with me now some time in prayer together, as a family, as a church. Father God, we ebb and flow, near and far from you in our lives. Our desire, of course, is to be near with you always. But our human workings sometimes prevent that. We search for you in great anxiety. We are concerned about our spiritual well-being, but we forget the simplest measures of where to find your Son. God, we pray that you shake us out of our politeness and into confrontation so that we may clearly see and share our misunderstanding with each other and our praise. Hear our impolite prayer, our anxious question, our struggle. Our hearts, as we reflect on your world, on a great multitude who cry out, refugees who are driven from their homes, who are killed along the roadside, children and mothers and fathers who are seeking a new home, a better place. Help us see the need in our own country. Those who ate this Christmas only because of the generosity of others whose next meal is insecure, whose children fill up on snacks or cheap foods, because that is all they can afford. Help us hear the cry of our own city, a city that struggles to love each other with complete openness and abandon, to know that your Son died for the well-being of every person, regardless of who they are, regardless of color or creed, your Son was for them. Open our eyes to your Son, who reaches out to us in the midst of our crisis and pain and fear and joy, and in whose name we pray, as he taught us together, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. We declare who we are and in whose house we reside by means of our actions and our trust in the Lord. And so this is an opportunity of offerings, of tithes, of givings, and of ways to show that we trust the Lord with every part of our lives. Give now as God has led you to give. blessed us with so much. In comparison with other folks, with other countries, with other people on this earth, you have blessed us with a great quantity, not only in means, but also in information. You give us a great ability to know and to find out and to hear about many things that are happening in your world. Help us to hear through that, to hear you, to hear your voice speaking to us through the world. Accept these tithes and offerings as a symbol of our declaration of our trust and our faith and our hope to hear that word. In all ways and in all times, in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Let's sing together our final hymn, printed in your bulletin.
Good news is that Jesus Christ is born this day for each and every one of us. And with that good news, go forth into the world to become the person you're born to be as God's own disciples and God's leaders. Go with God, and may the love of God and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all now and forever. Amen.
For the past hour, you have been listening to the worship service at Grace Covenant Presbyterian Church in Richmond, Virginia. Please join us again next Sunday through our radio ministry or in our sanctuary at 1627 Monument Avenue. Your announcer today has been John Harris, and the engineers were Phil Coltrane, Cameron Baird, and Nate McKinnon. This service streams live at the church website, grace-covenant.org. We now return you to Christian Talk Radio on WLEA.